Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enigdeberry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I am Melissa Enigdeberry. Show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burlington, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, NC 28206, and Holly Hill Lane, 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 28206. I did not plan this week very well. We normally have on the third week LaTanya Summers with Life Changes. I hope she just goes ahead and calls in, but if she doesn't, it's not on her, that's on me. I got to do a better job about planning this, I don't know what you would call this program. Some people have a blog. I don't have a blog. I guess it's not a video. I don't really know what you would call it, but I don't know how to market for inviting anybody to write or I call in. I don't even know who listens. I see some weeks it seems to be a lot of listeners, and then other weeks it seems to be few. I wish that you all would let me know where you are listening from. I would love to hear from you. You are welcome to write me at Melissa, M-E-L-I-S-S-A, trinitycounseling@gmail.com. You can message me online at trinitycounselingcharlotte.com, Trinity, TRINITYCOUNSELING, Charlotte, CHARLOTTE.com. You are welcome to message me on there. Of course, if you look on there, it appears that I'm almost a month late in even posting the outline of things. I got stuck in mental health month. The month of June come flying in. It is already June the 15th or 16th, and things are just kind of running on by. You always hear me speak about my kids. My kids were on air with me last week because they are not with me today. They're in summer camp, but last week they had just gotten out of school. Kids were getting out of school, and all kinds of things are going on. But anyway, I'm just glad to be here. I'm hands-free this morning, so I hope that you are able to hear me. I decided that I did not want to hold on to the phone, and I hope there's no echo and try to minimize the background noise. We just want to thank our Heavenly Father for just allowing us another opportunity to come together. Just wanted to say thank you for blessing us and keeping us throughout the week. And dear Heavenly Father, as we go into our broadcast, Heavenly Father, this is just be able to listen and learn and utilize the wisdom and the knowledge and the instruction that you provide to us this day and every day. And in Jesus' name we pray. I'm not going to do any type of a moment, silence, or anything in memory of those individuals who lost their lives in Orlando. I believe that the media is doing a really, really good job of that. That's not what this format, a forum, is for. Of course, we are talking about Men's Health Month. And if we wanted to briefly dissect it, it was a young man that decided to go into a club, and we don't really know all of it. The very moment that it happened, I posted on Facebook, and I have a Facebook page, Trinity Counseling, SVCS. You can look that up. You can look my name up, Melissa Enigdeberry. But I'm a licensed clinical addiction specialist. All that means is I've got 22 years in the field of substance abuse. I've got a mental health counseling master's. Forensic counseling was my specialization, and I come to realize there was just a few extra courses that helped me to focus more on what I already love to do, and that is listen and observe and figure out things. And, of course, you know, people do a really good job of layering themselves. You know, you can meet people and know them for years upon years upon years and still never really get to the heart and the mind of them. I will be 45 this year, and I'm learning more about my mother and my father. My father's been deceased since 2003. I'm learning more about him and him being deceased than I did know anything about him while he was living. That's very terrible. That's a terrible, terrible thing. But I don't know if it's because of my youth, my interest. I left home when I was 17. So a lot of the years, I would have been way too young to make some observations. I only had glimpses of what my father might have been like. And it's Father's Day, Sunday, so that's why that's on my mind. Excuse me, but a glimpse of my father has come periodically from individuals in the neighborhood where I live. And I said, well, my father must have been one heck of a guy, because in his death, people still respect him and respect his name. I'm being his daughter, have not had any problems with anybody in the neighborhood. When I introduce myself, I'll say my name. They don't know it. I'll say my mother's name. They still don't know it, so it's not the matriarch. But I'll say my father's name, and lo and behold, they'll say, yep, your father, this, that, and the third, he was a good man, blah, blah, blah. And I asked my mother, I said, well, what type of man was he? She's like, well, she wasn't sure about any of the other men in the neighborhood, but she said my father, for the young men in the neighborhood, would take time with them, kind of get down on their level, kind of appreciate them, you know, kind of allow them to be who they were, and just kind of accepted them. Anytime he saw them, he would speak, he would acknowledge them. And so that kind of forged the foundation for him, and then it created it for me that he was an upstanding man, although he did have faults. There was just something, some characteristics, and some qualities that he had that was just unmatched by some of the other men in the neighborhood, and the young men were drawn to my father. And as I'm thinking about that, and if you wonder why you are who as you are, then you pick up those traits, and it's definitely not genetics with my father and I, because I don't have his blood. But environmentally, I have watched him to do these things. And so with it being Father's Day, and we're considering men's health, and just back to this young man, I wonder, my question that is standing out for me and has stood out for me ever since this ordeal has began to happen is, what was his relationship like with his father? It told what his relationship was like with the women of his life, which also tells you what his relationship may or may not have been like with his mother. But it said that he had not been in Florida for very long, that he was born, he was born and raised in New York City. Someone made this observation, every picture that they've ever shown shows him in wearing the clothes of what, I don't know if he's security, wanted to be a police officer, but he wasn't able to cut it. I was just talking to a young man yesterday, and I said probably the only reason why he was not able to do it is he was not able to retain his emotions deep enough in order for them to approve him, because when you become a police officer or even a correctional officer, you go in and they do a psychological evaluation. They ask you different questions. We render the psychological evaluation at Trinity we do the SASE, which is the substance abuse subtle screening inventory. We also do the MAS, which is the Michigan Alcoholism Screening Test. And then so on there, we do a DAS, which is the Drug Abuse Screening Test. And so on there is asking questions, and some of the questions are specific to, whatever the thing is. So if it's mental health, it's specific to mental health, have you tried hurting yourself? If it's specific to drugs, have you used drugs in the last year? Because it's all, the diagnosis is for the year. Alcoholism, have you drank in the last year? What has your drinking pattern been like for the last year? And so it says that he was unable, he ended up working security, you know, at most, unfortunately, and I'm chuckling as I'm thinking about this, because if you're a security officer, that means that you didn't qualify to be an actual police. And so if it, and I don't know if his father was a police officer, so I would want to, if I was going to talk to him, there are some people that I would be interested in interviewing that have done these types of crimes, and I would be interested in some of the questions. Like, we're already answering what we think about the young man, you know, his sexuality, his you know, his religion. You know, we're going to the heavier, the general topics, if you will. Like when you do an assessment, you know, family stuff, you know, and that's all well and good. However, he's going into infamy. So we will read about him 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. They already laid him on the map. He's already, you know, the number of people that were injured in this crime, the number of people that were killed in this crime, the type of people that were killed in this crime. Their faces are broadcast all over. So he's going on in. But we are a reflection of our parents. That's good and bad. And so he's reflecting his father, and immediately they want to say, well, he's Muslim, you know. But it's always like, no, no. You know, he wasn't raised that way. You know, we're not devout. It's during Ramadan. And he would have done this, that, and the third. And what I share with an individual and his father, and I don't know if this is true, and I don't know if he would ever own it, admit it, say it out loud. But his father, his son has done what he's done, with or without help, and died. So his father would much rather him to be a terrorist, a domestic terrorist, than gay. I really, really believe that in my whole heart. And so it's because this young man may or may not have been able to be himself, be who he wanted to be. And if you have listened, or you can come to any of the groups, you know, I subscribe to a few theories, and one of them is Maslow's hierarchy of needs and the breakdown of it. But head of it, or the top of it, is self-actualization. Individuals want a purpose. We want to, you know, we want to be able to wake up and have food to eat, you know, and know that's there. We want to feel safe in our home and in our own skin. We want to be a part of groups or organizations. If we did not want this, then we wouldn't have fraternities, sororities. You know, it wouldn't be Taylor Swiftites. It wouldn't be Monsters. You know, it wouldn't be Gaga Monsters, Lady Gaga Monsters. It wouldn't be the Bay Hive. We wouldn't have any of those things. All of those are things that we desire to have. We want to have those things when we're young. We want to have those things when we're old. And Maslow says that if any of those needs aren't fulfilled, then we're not able to truly understand our purpose. And so if we're not being fed basic needs, and if we're not, we're not feeling safe, so we're thinking about this young man didn't feel safe, you know, he was who he was and the name that he had. I mean, there was a whole lot of things he would have had to go through to just wholly separate himself from his lineage. And then the next one is, you know, having a scheme. You know, I wanted to be a cop, and I couldn't keep myself quiet enough or calm enough, you know, with the age of technology. Now they've gone back and they found me ranting about something 6 years ago, you know, and I was like, okay. You know, just like some days when I do this program, I'm thinking and feeling some kind of ways, and other days I'm thinking and feeling, God forbid, something terrible happens, you know, I just decided whatever. And then they'll say, well, you know, she had a Blog Talk program, and these, you know, listen to what she's saying, and then you got to have people analyzing me. So, you know, I guess every good turn deserves another one. But my concern is more for this young man's father. I mean, he's got to live with this. Did this young man hate him so much that this is what he did? I mean, they're saying that he got upset because he saw, you know, two gays kissing. or whatever. But was that really what he was upset about? Or did his father tell him that you have, you know, destroyed the family image, or, you know, you've let me down, or, you know, any of those things? And I was talking to that. Encourage them. And they've never heard anyone to encourage them. And so they come in almost defeated. And it's unfortunate. And so, you know, you would think it would be your own flesh and blood that would say, you know what, good job. You're doing a really good job. You know, it's amazing, you know, the things that you're taking care of. It's amazing, you know, what you're doing. But if your family, if their needs aren't being fulfilled, or if your family's got a whole lot of other stuff going on with them, then they're able to handle. It's gonna be a little hard for them to, you know, encourage you when they're unable to encourage themselves or be hopeful for you when they're not hopeful for themselves. And that's the one thing, you know, my mother, no matter what. And on one hand, I was so respectful of her. The sound of her voice would deter me from a lot of things that I would do, many things that I would do. As I got older, that became a little something different. But many things that I would do. But the one thing that she allowed me to do, and I verbalized it on yesterday, but she would establish a parameter. And I think that is why it is important that men are in the home to help establish the guidelines for the kids. The mother can do it, you know, but she's going to do it with emotion. You know, she's going to be like, no, I don't think you should ever go to spend the night with your friends because this will happen. Versus the father might say, well, it might be okay if you go over there, but if, you know, if you get uncomfortable or something like that, you can scope that thing out. You know, or people will see a mother and a father in the home and then automatically know that, you know, the kids should be, you know, fairly well taken care of. And so that's real important that they help with establishing that. And so anytime that anything happens, I don't think about just the individual who's deceased and not able to speak. I think about their father and the role that they played in their lives. And, you know, psychologically, Freud, you know, came up with this, what was called the Oedipus complex, and he came up with the opposite one, which I can never think of as the female version. But, you know, it's always a war. Of course, Freud, you know, many of the psychologists in the past didn't believe in Christ or God. And so a lot of what they would say, but then, you know, if you could take the same thing they were saying, you know, you can go to the scripture for yourself and see where it says that, you know, you're warring in your own home. Heck, you're warring in your own flesh. Your flesh and your spirit is always at battle. And so, it said in the last days there would be, you know, fathers against sons and mothers against daughters. And if you look at the scripture, if you look at the news, if you look at the scriptures, then it says exactly that. It's going to be fathers against sons, mothers against daughters. But it didn't say how. And automatically when you read that, you think, well, that just probably just means that, you know, they're going to be fighting amongst themselves. But, you know, in the book of James, it says that why do we war? We fight because something that you have inside of you, you know, like those qualities and characteristics that my father had, you know, when he even, you know, even in his death, people are still, you know, respecting him because he respected them. And he gave that to me. And then my mother gave me other characteristics and qualities that were important as well. Things like, you know, anytime my mother would, she doesn't do a lot of it now, and I'm going to have to remind her of that. But I don't know if men do it or not, but anytime she used to get stressed out and she didn't want to argue, she would start singing hymns. And I never knew why she was doing it. She was singing at the top of her lungs in the kitchen, and I didn't know until I got a little older. that her singing of those hymnals was during the time when she probably knew how the bills were going to get paid. You know, my father was an alcoholic, so she probably didn't know, you know, that he had spent up all his check, which that's what he did. You know, she didn't know, you know, she really didn't know what he was into. A lot of times, you know, she just stayed the course. Kind of lived her life, excuse me, and just, you know, kind of lived that way. And she knew to do that. And she would always tell me, you know, it's the words of the song. It's not the music. It's not the jumping around. And, you know, it's not the praise. Well, the praise also, but it's the words. You know, and the words will save you. You know, even with the Jesus loves me, this I know, or the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. I mean, even with the children's song, it's saying what the position is, and it's saying that, you know, when you know, you can go to the word and see that even if your relationship with your earthly father is not what it needs to be, it doesn't matter about that. It's the relationship that you have with your heavenly father that's what needs to be. And if you don't, see, unfortunately for Muslims, they don't get the advantage of having the Bible to tell them that. You know, they do have structure. They have instructions from the word of the Quran. But it doesn't say that, you know, it just says Allah, but it says to submit to him. You know, but when you submit to him, if you read other things like you're an infidel, if you don't do blah, 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 you know, it's kind of critical, the relationship in some aspects of the relationship is a bit critical. And if you are unable to, if you know you're living in this world and it's difficult to live as structured as it's presenting you to do, then that's going to create a conflict. That's going to create some aspects of rebellion. And then you're not going to have a choice but to check out. And you may check out behaviorally, you may check out mentally, you may check out emotionally. And by this being Men's Health Month, this is the third week. This is Father's Day weekend. You know, I really wish that I had an opportunity to say to my pop, you know, all of what I would like to say to him. I feel, you know, it would not have been enough time, you know, when he passed away, it would not have been enough time for me to make my way to the hospital to lay out, you know, my gratitude for the many years, you know, of my life. I was very resentful initially, but, you know, now that I've had, you know, time to think and to peruse over things, you know, I would just wish there was an opportunity to say, you know, to my father. And if you are a father, allow your kids the opportunity to know who you are and to know that you love them no matter what. You know, please don't be critical of your kids because you had an expectation of them that you thought that they should be like you are and do the career that you wanted to or go the way that you wanted them to go. You know, fathers, you know, turn around and say to your kids, listen, I love you. I love you regardless. I love you, no matter what. I love you in every aspect of the word. You know, you are my flesh and blood. If you don't have kids, you got young people that are close to you to do the same thing. You know, say, you know, you're created. God created you. He doesn't make any mistakes. You know, he did this, and I really appreciate it. And get to the heart of the matter. Because you don't want a child to go in infamy, you know, displaying the disgust for every aspect of themselves. You know, God is love. He created us. So when we hate ourselves or cut ourselves, we actually are displaying a disgust or hate for God. But it comes to our Father, because it says our relationship with our Father is how we see God. So, Father, on this Father's Day, yeah, we want to honor you. Yeah, we want to appreciate you. Yeah, you'll get some flowers, some ties, some cologne, some money, some trips, some food or whatever. You know, but on this Father's Day, you know, if nothing else, please, please, please say to your children, I love you. I mean, say it with sincerity. Look them in their eyes. Write them a letter. doing a sign language, sing a song about it. But let your children know that you love them early. And if you have young children, please, by God, if you have children in the womb, kiss your wife or mate, stomach. Whatever it is that you need to do, please let these kids know. If you're older, if you made a lot of mistakes, and then, you know, you are still their father, you know, be the bigger man this Father's Day and call your kids. Don't sit around talking about, well, they ain't calling me on Father's Day, you know, and then get drunk and then get high, you know, because now you go on in the relationship that you have with your kids. Take that first step and call your kids on Father's Day. Say, listen, I'm your father. I just want to take this opportunity on Father's Day to just share my love for you. Say that I'm sorry. Try to, you know, do what I can to forge, you know, try to make that up. And from this Father's Day to next Father's Day, 365 days, 168 hours in a week, 24 hours a day, that you'll make a conscious effort to try to catch up those years that were lost. You know, write the legacy, give it to your kids, you know, identify who you are. Whatever it is that you need to do that for your kids, and so that when you pass on at the funeral, they're not shocked by anything that they hear. Subsequent Father's Day from now, you know, let them return that with graciousness, you know, as they get older. But it's a healing needs to happen, because if nothing else, we can learn from this ordeal, because it says everything works together for good for those who love God. And if I've asked, as I processed it, the good is, if this young man was so disgusted with who he was, being a Muslim, being gay, being unhappy, feeling unworthy, then you know what? I'm going to say that it's because he had a critical father. I'm not going to lay the weight of all of this on the dad, but I hope that the dad, if he has any other kids, I hope that he's able to say to those children, you know, I'm sorry. I hope that in his grieving process for his son, instead of just turning him over to just being a domestic terrorist, that he will actually take some responsibility for, you know, creating the young man. And saying that, you know, here are the ways that he could have done better. If he is a Muslim, prayerfully, this will be an opportunity for him to submit to God and let him know, you know, that he wasn't God, and that any type of punishment or turning his back or anything that he did that separated his relationship with he and his son, that led, you know, maybe led to these steps of these things, you know, prayerfully. Allow him an opportunity to be able to be forgiven and forgive himself for that, or whatever it is. Because if he doesn't acknowledge what the strain was, then he's going to carry on. And what's going to happen to him 5 or 10 years from now? So I'm not wanting to say that, but on this Father's Day, you know, it is Father's Day. 1 week leading up to it, here's a father that is going to have to spend Father's Day still reading the media about his son. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, you know the words, you know the thoughts, you know what your Bible, you know what the word says, Heavenly Father. We just pray right now. We just pray for the young man. We pray for his father. We pray for his mother. We pray for his family members. We pray for the family members of the individuals that were lost in Orlando. We pray for all fathers. We pray for all children. We know, dear Heavenly Father, that you created us to be a family. We know that the enemy is running rampant within the family, trying to separate us. He said, but in your word, dear Heavenly Father, you said nothing can separate us from the love of God. And right now, dear Heavenly Father, please let us to realize your love in every aspect, to know that everything works together for good for those who love you, and help us to see what love is, even in this trying time. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go forward on this day, we just pray that you continue to walk with us, keep us, protect our families, and until we meet again, Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.